The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen. How often we say to ourselves, or we feel in our own hearts, if only I could have the power and vigor of the early Christians. Well, we can, and that's what I want to talk about this morning. I would like to use the first verse of Psalm 110 as my text. This is the most frequently cited Old Testament verse in the New Testament. 27 times, all the writers of the New Testament except John refer to this verse, and even John makes some slight hints. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." This verse expresses the faith of the apostles, the faith of the writers of the New Testament canon. On the basis of that, and as an indirect part of my goal, this can also be our faith, the faith of the New Testament for the believers in the 20th century, beginning of the 21st century. Psalm 110:1 speaks of faith in God. It speaks about faith in the mission of the church, and it speaks about faith in the future that is going to come. The early Christians, first century Christians, had a faith fixed firmly in God. God, for them, was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what the Psalm verse says. The Lord said to my Lord, that is, God the Father said to his Son, "Sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." I said, "Triune God, where is the third person?" The third person is the one who is speaking through the words, the pen of the psalmist. David himself says that the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me in 2 Samuel 23. His word was on my lips. And in the New Testament, when Jesus was asked whether he was the son of David or whether he was the Lord of David, he cited this psalm and he said, "David, by the Holy Spirit, said, the Lord said to my Lord." So we have the Trinity, the Father, next to his, on his right, is the Son, and it is the Spirit who is doing the speaking through these words. It is interesting for us to note that the faith of the first century believers was a faith in a God who was not abstract. He was a God who was close to us. He was a God who was friendly and kind to us. And we must always, though we get it mixed up with the triangles, and there are enough triangles in this chapel to make it look abstract, but God was a friendly God. Jesus said, "I call you not slaves," in John 15, "but I call you friends." This is the kind of God we need, we who are sinners, and we who have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have dirtied our clothes. We need a God who is friendly. Another person in the Middle Ages, and this is in our hymn book, in our TLH book, number 387, verses 5 and 6, saw this in a popular, in a friendly fashion. God spoke to his beloved Son, "'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free. Slay bitter death for him that he may live with us forever." And the Son obeyed the Father's will. was born a virgin mother. And God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. No garb of power or pomp he wore, a servant's form like mine he bore to lead the devil captive. That was the faith of the first century, and it can be our faith if we will but take this book and listen to it, speak to us, and describe this God of our salvation to us. Christ's work is finished, but his mission goes on. That was the faith of the early believers. The Father has exalted the Son. He takes a kind of an Einsteinian mindset. David is writing 1,000 before Christ. Other psalms he tells about the work of Christ. Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? But in this psalm, Psalm 110, the Father is now receiving the exalted Christ after his work is completed. And in this psalm, the Son sitting at the Father's right hand, in the next verses 2-7, the Son is sending forth his workers, he himself working with them and through them. He is sending them forth as king, as priest, and as warrior. The Son at the right hand of God seeks the salvation of all men in the world. I cannot review in this short time. I cannot review verses 2-7, and they are difficult verses. The translations vary considerably, but the picture is quite clear. And maybe if I were at China Lutheran Seminary, where the dean of the chapel told me to my first sermon to preach 30 minutes. And I said, you've got to be kidding. 30 minutes? At least 20, but better 30. They believe in the eternal gospel, and they want this here. If it's more than 9 minutes, the dean already pushes the button, and you drop down the... But the message of the psalm is clear. The Son, at the right hand, sends volunteers out into the world to carry on the work, to break down the barriers, to bring in the sheaves. And he is the one who asks these volunteers, as in the words of the Apocalypse in the 12th chapter, these volunteers, conquered the enemy on account of the blood of the Lamb and on account of the word of their witness. And they did not love their life even unto death. And so the opposition goes on. But this one who is king and who is priest after the order of Melchizedek, this one who is the warrior, is with us. I am with you always. He is at our side, and he is fighting these battles. And he confronts people and says, I am your Lord. I am your king. I was David's Lord. I am your Lord. Will you acknowledge me? And we all know the defenses that people make. Everybody holds him at a distance. Everybody wants to keep this Son sitting at the right hand. They want to keep him away. They want to keep him comfortable. They want to keep him so that he does not control their life until they themselves are converted. Yes, I am with you always to the end of the age. And with his word, he penetrates our fortifications, our physical ones, our mental ones. He gets to our conscience. He speaks to us. And he says, I want the homage that I have due. I am Lord of heaven and earth. This will all end. We have the faith that we have a bright future until your enemies become your footstool. We do not know how long this will last. Only when all his enemies are under his feet, are written on his footstool, will he come again to wrap it up. St. Paul quotes this psalm in 1 Corinthians 15. He must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. Now, when he has all things under subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Peter, in his second sermon in the book of Acts, Acts 3, says, heaven must hold him at the right hand until the restitution of all things takes place. Romans 5, we're going to see that in a short time, some of you, and that restitution is when that objective, that justification which God has prepared in Christ rests in the heart of men everywhere. We rehearse the blueprint, the faith of the New Testament church and believers, and our faith in the 20th century is a faith in a God in heaven who rules the world with wisdom, with justice, and especially with consideration for the church. It is a faith in the God of that kingdom of grace, in which he sends out volunteers into the world, and he challenges and privileges these volunteers to spread the blessed gospel of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It was a faith in the constant assurance that our Lord God is in control of the world and of our lives, and that he who sits on the right hand of God is always with us. He governs our lives. He leads us in this world. He assures us of the ultimate victory. And it is a faith that hopes that Jesus Christ will return at the right time, when this gospel has been preached to all nations and when all the enemies are under his feet. And to that we can only say, oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen.